Everybody, Phil here for Android Central, along with Casey Chan. Casey, say hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we are here in Las Vegas at CES, the world's largest electronics mayhem maelstrom. There are a whole lot of people here. Anyway, we got a chance to talk to HTC's Eric Lin a couple days after the launch of the Nexus One. Very exciting. We've actually met with Eric a few times, but this time we got it recorded, and we're going to share it with everybody. So here you go, about 25 minutes with HTC's Eric Lin. There's a little bit of Windows Mobile talk in there, so if you just hate WinMo with a passion, get over it. It really does parallel Android a lot, and hopefully you'll be hearing more of us in the future. See ya. All right, so we got the Nexus One out the door.
Right.
It's in hands. Dieter's got his. Mine's waiting at my house for me. People expected this to be a paradigm shift either on the part of Google or HTC on the hardware side, because obviously you guys are more intent on the hardware as far as HTC goes, as far as the Nexus One and all the Android stuff.
Right.
What is HTC's shining star on the hardware end of the Nexus One?
Okay, I think that the most impressive part of the hardware is actually the way that we've integrated the frame and the body into a single unit. If you look, right, so everybody's got access to chips, screens, cameras, everything, right? So who can have a shining star there, right? Sure. Oh, Snapdragon processor. Anybody can go to Qualcomm, buy that, right? Cameras, screens, everything. Like, anybody can go to a supplier and buy those, right? So shining stars can't really, or like standout features can't really be something that is a component that everybody can go buy. Well, what's left? How you put it together. That's it. And so we think that the way that we've put it together is unique in not just in actually the process, but also in like what that means as a result, like how it feels in your hand, how thin it is, like the way it looks, all those things like added together.
It's the first phone with Android 2.1 on it. What is your favorite feature that you've seen in 2.1? Forgetting all the future Android build you've probably played with at this point.
Let's see. So I think I'll tell you, a lot of the 3D transitions, despite the fact that they don't add any utility, are just really eye-pleasing. Like, there's a lot of phones out there that people have always talked about, like, oh, I hate this phone, but I love how, like, this looks. Or it's just, like, it's so smooth or whatever it is. The 3D transitions for me are really, especially like when you hit the application menu key and all of the icons for the applications kind of like zoom down to the, like I can kind of sit there and do that all day long.
Text to speech or speech to text?
You know, I use it, but I'm not that big of a, so I don't even talk to people on my phone.
Yeah.
If I don't talk to people on my phone, why am I going to talk to Google on my phone? So I'm not really a talker. You know, like our friend here has a Bluetooth headset on. I don't have any headsets, anything. The only thing I do, like, kind of sound-wise on my phone is listen to music. it's kind of funny. So, yeah, for me, it's really the 3D transitions. I'm always amazed by how accurate the text-to-speech is, though. Like, have you really, like, tried it?
I haven't, like, tried to stump it yet, but I'm absolutely going to.
I had a journalist try it, and he wasn't even trying to stump it, but it didn't think about the fact that he was saying a friend's name, and, you know, he has a pretty unusual last name, and was just shocked about the fact that, like, even with an unusual last name that it didn't get right, it came so close that it was obvious what was, like, how good it was.
Wow.
You know, his last name was Bjornan, right? So it translated as Bjorn and. that's pretty close, you know?
Do you think, like, the Nexus One, is it a culmination of what HTC was going to do anyway, or do you think a lot of pressure was put on by Google to, like, you know, push it even faster?
Hardware-wise, the Nexus One was ours, you know. But I think we still obviously want to do more with Android in the software space, right? We want to continue to improve Sense, to advance Sense. So I don't want to say it's the culmination of everything HTC wants to do, because that would just make us a hardware company, and that's really not what we are.
At Tuesday's event, I thought one of the most telling things was seeing your CEO up on stage with Andy Rubin and Mario, and then seeing Motorola's CEO come up as well, which said a lot about Google's relationship with the partners. And that's something on the Microsoft side we absolutely hear. You know, Microsoft won't do this because they don't want to upset their partners. Can you talk a little bit just about the relationship and how that works?
Well, so we've had a really long-standing, really positive relationship with Android. Mm-hmm. It's continued to be really strong. And we know very well that there's other manufacturers out there that their relationship with Google, with Android, might not be as long-standing as ours, but it's probably as strong as ours, mm-hmm. or close to that. And we can't deny that. With Windows Mobile, we've always been well ahead of all of the partners in terms of sales, in terms of what we're producing, and in terms of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And here, I think that, you know, everything is so young that it's a closer game, you know, so...
And still plenty of room for everybody to get a share.
Yeah, look, there are a lot of people out there who are turning to smartphones now. A lot of people out there. And yes, I mean, like, is there like some dreamland where somehow HTC owns 100% of the market? Sure, in somebody's fantasy. But like, we understand that, you know, we try and put out as many different kinds of phones as we can because we know people want choice. Mm-hmm. But then we also understand, okay, you know what? Choice sometimes means that there's some people who like are going to prefer something else over what we do. But the market is so huge, and every single one of these big companies like committing to Android actually means that the potential market is growing, mm-hmm. right? It's not that there's this fixed pie and then like every company who like it joins the market is like taking a chunk out of that pie, right? The pie is actually getting bigger constantly because we're still like well under 50% of cell phone users have a smartphone, right? So that means there's a lot of people left who can still buy a smartphone and not even have people like buying, you know, replacing their current ones.
Do you expect like different form factors then? Because, you know, like after the G1, the MyTouch, the Hero, the Nexus One, they're all kind of, you know, the same. They're all awesome, but they're kind of the same. Do you expect to like expand it?
I think we do. You know, our experience with Android is also young. Mm-hmm. And so, but when you look at our Windows Mobile lineup, we have a lot of different form factors, right? It's not just a single style. Because, again, we know that we have a lot of different customers, and they have different needs. And one form factor or one style is not going to suit everybody's need. So as we grow, get more experienced with Android, get more comfortable with it, think of new ways to use it, then yeah, absolutely. I think you'll see our choice of form factors growing.
Switching to Winmo for a second, Steve Ballmer announced the HD2 is officially going to T-Mobile.
Yes.
Sometime this spring. You don't know when, or you won't tell me when, but I have to ask.
Let's just say that that's up to T-Mobile, that's up to readiness, that's up to a lot of factors that aren't 100% decided yet. So even if I could tell you now, it wouldn't be accurate.
Sure. And that's a weird relationship that people don't necessarily understand, especially when it comes to updating software on the Windows Mobile side, as well as Android, as well as almost any other smartphone except for the iPhone maybe. You guys aren't responsible entirely. Nobody is. No one person is really responsible for updating a phone, right? Everybody's saying, is this Android phone going to get 2.0? Is this Windows Mobile phone going to get 6.5 or 7 now, they're talking about already? So can you explain the process briefly about how that runs through with you guys, but through you guys? But
wow. It's a pretty complex process. I'll try and simplify it and just say that when we're looking at upgrades for a phone, the first thing that we do is go to our partners and say, you know, we're investigating upgrades for these phones. Is this interesting to you? Here's what we're looking at in terms of the cost of developing, porting these up upgrades, all these things, right? Because there's always a cost involved,
sure,
in terms of actually taking the generic software that's given to us, you know, by Google, by Microsoft, by whomever, and then making sure that that works with our hardware, and then porting, you know, oftentimes because most of our phones have Sense, right? Mm-hmm. Then making sure that Sense is ported to that and works with it. It's not just like taking off one Lego brick and putting another brick back on and then we're done. And I think that's the first misconception. Mm-hmm. People hear like upgrade, and they also hear from Android is free, and they hear from Microsoft, oh, this upgrade is free, and they think that that means that there's no cost involved. They don't realize all the labor not even counting the labor on the OS manufacturer's mm-hmm. side, but the labor that goes into it on our side just to get that running on the phones. And then once we have a consensus about whether, you know, it's an interesting upgrade to our carrier partners, that sort of thing, then we can start looking at, okay, we're going to start doing this, and then we start talking to our partners about timing. We start talking to the OS provider about, you know, when are we going to get final bits? Talk to our company about how long is it going to take to get, you know, Sense running well on the upgrade, that sort of thing. And then they go back to the carrier partners with that, and they see how that fits into, you know, their schedules and their needs and work it from there.
In 6 months, is TouchFlow 3D still around, or does that totally become Sense?
TouchFlow 3D is already Sense.
Yeah.
Right, so from the HD2, TouchFlow 3D is Sense.
So from there out, we call it Sense.
I believe so, yes.
Will it ever see OTA upgrades as far as Manila, you know, without updating entire OSs?
Windows Mobile 6.5 technically supports OTA upgrades, but it was very difficult, and it involved a lot more negotiations than I think anybody was ready for. We are working hard to see if we can't do real OTA upgrades with Android, even with Sense, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, the Google installs do OTA updates. Right now, we've been running using PC updates, but we've been investigating OTA updates for Android. Can't promise that we'll have it, but sure. It looks like we're heading in that direction.
Do you guys own the Nexus One branding, or is that Google's?
That's Google's branding. That's Google's? Oh, okay. Yes.
And then you guys are getting an AT&T said that they would have an HTC Android phone.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Can't talk about anything about that.
No, they're not. They're not ready to announce any models, so neither are we.
The likes of XDA developers, which is, I mean, the work they do is incredible. Not necessarily on the up and up, you know, totally, yeah, not to get into the legality of it. And I won't ask you guys whether you approve of it or not, but is it something that you look at and are just amazed at the things they're able to do with the hardware and software that HTC has helped produce?
Well, so, you know, there, what XDA developer is doing is not it's not run by a business case, right? So I'm not amazed that it's technically possible. What I'm amazed is that we have such a large community of devotees who are so technically adept that they can say, like, okay, this might not have been a good business case for HTC to do this, but you know what? That's not going to stop us. We don't care about the business case. We just know that we want X on Y, you know? And yep. They're going to do everything in their power to see if they can make that happen.
Your developers see stuff and just like, oh, why didn't we, you know, why?
Well, like I say, you know, our developers see that stuff, and for the most part, you know, it's not that we didn't do it or we didn't think of it. It's that we decided that, you know, or we talked with our partners or whatever and saw that it wasn't going to be the right choice for us.
Windows Mobile is not dead. I will be the first
Windows
to say
Windows Mobile
it.
Is not dead. we wouldn't have announced that we were bringing another Windows Mobile phone to the U.S. 2 days ago if Windows Mobile was dead.
And Microsoft has all but officially said in passing, yes, we'll be announcing more stuff at Mobile World Congress next month.
Right.
Safe to say we'll see more from HTC and Windows Mobile.
We are not leaving Windows Mobile. Yes.
You heard it here. Quit asking.
Right. We are not an Android-only hardware developer.
Are the old Android devices going to get Sense if they're capable, like the Magic and G1?
Well, those were always branded as Google handsets,
right?
They all had with Google on the back, and it was decided that because of that, they wouldn't get that they would stick with Google builds.
Okay.
So that's going to be up to T-Mobile and Google whether that ever happens or what type of upgrades they get. Whether they get upgrades to more future operating systems beyond 1.6, mm-hmm. to whether or even whether they want to shift them to Sense.
Hardware-wise, capacitive screens, and we have great debates. There are people who love resistive screens.
Yeah. Not sexist. Women who have fingernails
prefer
resistive screens because they can use their nails on the screen, which they can't on capacitive screens.
So you see HTC continuing to make, you're going to make whatever somebody orders.
Right.
Sure. But as far as trending goes,
trending is definitely towards capacitive. For almost everybody, I think we see we're seeing women with shorter nails, or we're seeing people adapt to how they use phones. As well, we on our Android phones offer alternative navigation, right? So there's trackballs on our Android phones so that if you don't want to touch the screen, you don't have to. And that's one of the nice things about Android, right? That you actually can do navigate the entire OS without ever touching the screen. But the trend is definitely towards capacitive. It lets us make thinner screens. It gives us some advantages in terms of finger friendliness. Certainly gives us the advantage of multi-touch, right? If we went away from capacitive screens back to resistive, then everybody would say, "Well, where's my multi-touch?" Right? there's that sort of argument as well.
What's kind of the official line on multi-touch? Because there was a bit of a to-do on Tuesday about multi-touch on the Nexus One, and it's not just the Nexus One, but the Droid.
Well, here's what I know. What I know is Google has said that there are APIs in Android let's just say Eclair, for multi-touch. But that they choose not to implement that in their applications, like Google Maps, like the browser, right? So that's Google's choice not to implement it in those applications. It doesn't mean it doesn't have multi-touch.
Right.
It just means it doesn't have multi-touch in those applications. And that's Google's choice. They write those applications.
So don't come yelling at you guys.
Well, or even don't come yelling at Google. When they say that it's capable of multi-touch, it absolutely is. Just because it's not in those applications doesn't mean that it's not capable of it.
OLED screens and AMOLED screens, no turning back from that.
Well, I don't want to say no turning back. There's definitely still some advantages to LEDs, but they're also, I think you'll see both. OLEDs are still in pretty tight supply. So we are not at the stage where every phone that rolls off an assembly line can be an OLED screen. There just simply aren't enough of them in the world.
So you said that HTC was more than a hardware company, right? You guys build software too.
Right.
Wonderful software. But so then, do you think it's a little counterproductive then, making the Nexus One? Like, shouldn't you guys focus strictly on Sense, push Sense, and once Sense makes Sense really big, and then all of a sudden, you guys make another just hardware, right, with Nexus One?
Well, so we still work with partners who want hardware from us. And I don't think it's counterproductive at all. Okay. I would defy you to, like, find one reason why making the Nexus right, 1 right. was a bad idea, considering how well-received it's
right,
been.
Right, right,
right. So, you know, if the choice is, you know, do we make this awesome piece of hardware
yeah.
running Google's software without Sense, or do we just say forget it so and not get it at all, which would you probably, which yeah. choice would you probably
So there's
make?
No, like, internal conflict, like there's, like, a Sense team, like, saying, no, don't do that, or there's, like, you know.
Well, on the whole, look, we know that a lot of our customers like Sense, and we yeah. feel that it's a really good solution for a lot of people, right? It makes, we feel that it makes things easier, it makes things more intuitive, right. and, you know, a lot of people really, really like that. But there are people who definitely do prefer that default Google experience. And so, should we make, should we not make hardware for them because they prefer that? I don't think so.
It's like different form factors.
Right, right, exactly.
Is the way that Sense is integrated into Android so different than Windows Mobile? And I just don't know the ins and outs of that. I mean, in Windows Mobile, in 6.5, right. it's a plug-in, basically, that you can turn on and off.
Right, and it's different in Android. It's basically an integral part of the experience. So we've replaced all of the applications with their own. It's not a plug-in living on top.
Mm-hmm.
Where on Windows Mobile, people ask, is there a way to turn TouchFlow off or turn Sense off? And there is. On Android, there absolutely is not.
Right.
There's no way to make our experience go away without literally, like, ripping out and reflashing the phone. All right. I've stumped the media.
No, we're absolutely looking at good things in the next 6 months or so, I think. Snapdragon itself is growing as well, I think. Probably,
well,
we're going to beat 1 gigahertz at some point.
I don't know.
Does that matter?
Do we need to? let's take laptop processors. Perfect example. If you look at laptop processors today, I think they're actually running at slower clock speeds than they were 2 years ago.
Right.
Right? But they have more cores, they have more efficient chips, that sort of
thing. The architecture
right?
has
yeah,
improved.
Exactly. The architecture for mobile chips is also improving. So, you know, everybody's been shifting over to Cortex, right? So now Snapdragon is Cortex. The TIO Map 3s and 4s are Cortex, which gets people really excited, right? It doesn't have to be a faster chip, right? The OMAP 3, it runs at 550 megahertz. Our standard Qualcomm chip that we use on the Hero and everything runs at 528. But the Cortex adds more speed. So I think we're not necessarily looking at clock speed improvements so much as or growth so much as we're looking at efficiency growth.
What about battery technology? You guys don't build your own batteries, right?
We do not.
Are we going to be stuck with lithium ion forever?
Well, I hope.
Well, not forever, obviously.
right. Not forever. And there's new processes in lithium ion batteries.
Mm-hmm.
But so the thing is, battery capacity and battery technology has been improving steadily for a long time. It just hasn't been improving at the same rate as battery usage has been improving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, faster processors, graphics coprocessors, bigger screens, all these things, 3G, eating up battery has been, the battery, like, consumption has been growing at a faster rate than the battery technology is advancing.
And as HTC makes better and better phones and more interesting phones, people are going to use them more anyway.
Right. Especially, you know, I think that we're at the stage where a lot of people are starting to say, like, do I really need that to carry my laptop with me?
Mm-hmm.
I can just carry my smartphone. I think 2009 was finally the year where that was starting to become realistic to people. You know, there's a lot of good smartphones in the market that, if you don't need, you know, serious typing, if you don't need serious graphics processing power, and you just need to be out for the day, like checking your email or whatever, you can do that on a smartphone. Yeah, so people are using them crazy amounts, a lot more than we're accustomed to them using them.
And finally, who wins in a fight, the HD2 or the Nexus 1? I know you're pitting your children together.
Well, yeah, but. Yeah. I mean, like, well, so I think the HD2 might weigh more, so
yes.
he might have
much that, bigger.
Yeah. So he might have a little of the weight and reach advantage. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Maybe Nexus One is more experienced at takedowns and has a better ground game.
Nexus One probably has better 3D hooks in it than the HD2 and Winmo at this point,
no.
Right?
No, well,
or at least that has been implemented.
There's a lot of 3D implemented in the HD2. I mean, even the full screen weather.
Oh, absolutely.
On the home screen is actually implemented in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So
which runs nicely on a Touch Pro 2.
So I don't even think that one's going to win in a 3D fight over the other. You know, maybe the Nexus One is like small and wily. And, like, he's really fast and got good takedown skills or something.
HTC, like, at the end of last year, they were, like, starting to put out commercials. A lot of people were happy to see that HTC was becoming a name brand.
Right.
Is that going to continue? Like, that's going to happen?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That was, you know, the launch. And you can't launch that and then just say, okay, stop the commercials. Yeah. You know, like, so remember those in a year or two, okay? I think you'll continue to see us pushing our brand.
Focus,
and
yeah.
Exactly, and working more with the carriers on the new Droid Aris commercial launched, I guess, a week or two ago. The first commercial after the series of brand commercials that really starts talking about a product, you know, in conjunction with what the carrier wants to say about the product. So I think you'll start see us doing more of those so that we can kind of show off our products and get them out there. But in that same vein, right? You know, we're not all of a sudden going to go back to or turn to the traditional kind of like phone commercials, yeah. Like, here's a phone floating in a black void kind of thing or something like that. You know, like, that won't happen. But,
Well, I think that's going to do it. Thank you very much.
Great, excellent. Good talking to you guys.